A 6-year-old boy drifts to sleep whispering, "That was the best day ever." Hours later, he wakes crying in the dark. "Nana, will you ever get sick or die?" Morning arrives, and he's transformed again. This could be the best day ever. This is the human condition in miniature. We swing between wonder and terror, hope and dread, sometimes within the same breath. We know we should be kinder to ourselves and others, yet kindness feels impossibly distant when we're nursing grudges, rehearsing grievances, or replaying our failures on an endless loop. Here's a radical thought. What if mercy isn't something we need to learn, but something we've forgotten? What if the compassion we desperately seek is already within us, buried under years of disappointments and self-protection? Watch a toddler comfort someone crying, offering their stuffed animal without hesitation. We enter this world as mercy machines, naturally kind and open. But disappointments accumulate, betrayals sting, and we build walls until showing mercy feels like scaling a fortress. The prophet Micah offered ancient guidance: do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Of these three, mercy should be easiest, yet it remains most elusive. Trauma and fear block our access to this fundamental nature. We choose righteous indignation over compassion, preferring the storm of drama to the quiet work of forgiveness. Yet when we flash even a moment of mercy towards someone we dislike, something shifts. We let someone merge in traffic, hold space for a difficult person's pain, or release a grudge. Remember that lightness, that sudden expansion in your chest? That's reconnection with your true self. Despite heartbreak and crises, there remains love, laughter, nature, and mercy waiting to be remembered. Adolescence is excruciating. Everyone sees your insecurities while you see theirs. We armor ourselves with fashion, achievement, and irony, having lost contact with our innately merciful selves. Yet mercy finds us through friendships that save us and teachers who acknowledge our struggles. College offers freedom, only to reveal the same competitive principles. Adulthood brings jobs that rarely match our talents, partners who are strange, cranky people, and children who bring both miraculous love and exhaustion. Then aging arrives, when almost everything fails: vision, hearing, memory, random organs. What helps? Deep connection with a few people. A son confronts his mother after she makes a snarky comment about a transgender person. "I love you, but you were wrong," he tells her. His mercy becomes a protective cloak. This is the truest love. Not blind acceptance, but holding someone accountable while refusing to abandon them. When have you experienced this kind of mercy? The kind that sees your failings clearly, yet embraces you anyway. Moving beyond judgment requires mercy, both giving and receiving it. Without it, we spiral into fundamentalism and blame. The path forward starts with three words: I was wrong. As Lewis Smeds wrote, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Ancient Chinese artisans practiced kintsugi, embellishing cracks in pottery with gold leaf, honoring damage rather than hiding it. What if our scars aren't shameful flaws, but sites of transformation? What if our broken places, filled with the gold of mercy and compassion, become our most beautiful features? The Good Samaritan parable illustrates this. When a beaten man lay in a ditch, religious leaders passed by, but a despised Samaritan stopped to help. Modern mercy stories echo this. Relatives forgiving the Charleston church shooter, a South African woman adopting her family's murderer, Amish including a killer's widow in their mourning, newly sober alcoholics caring for those who have soiled themselves. These stories challenge us. Could I forgive such transgressions? Mercy isn't about feeling, it's about action. It's showing up, binding wounds, creating community. Life brings good and bad things simultaneously, without warning. Yet mercy appears even in our fear and suffering, like light filtering through storm clouds. Where is mercy in childhood cancer, earthquakes, or suicide? We respond not with answers, but with presence. We show up for messy, real people. We bring sandwiches and coffee. We offer the willingness to feel awful together. Consider Anne, whose son died by suicide. In her garden memorial, surrounded by impatience that reflect moonlight and darkness, they held and released him together. The impatience offer a powerful symbol, flowers that reflect light even in darkness, blooming persistently through difficult conditions. Think about when someone showed up for you in suffering, not to fix it, but simply to be present. Perhaps they brought coffee every morning, sat silently while you cried, or remembered your loved one's birthday after everyone else moved on. That's mercy in action. Through these acts, we create a web of connection that sustains us through darkness. Beneath everything lies something indestructible, a foundation we need when all seems lost. A Senegalese village facing water crisis greeted an activist with drums and dancing despite their desperation. The women had visions of an underground lake. Though the men initially refused to let them dig, they persisted for over a year until finding water exactly as they'd seen. This is mercy, baobab trees giving shade, new water from ancient lakes, men releasing rigid roles, helpers arriving with second winds. The underground lake serves as a perfect metaphor for mercy. It's always there, sustaining life, even when we can't see it. Have you experienced transcendence in ordinary moments? The dairy aisle, people making eye contact, letting others go first? Even a moment's transcendence changes everything, reminding us that beneath our separate identities flows a common source. Perhaps the hardest mercy is extending forgiveness to ourselves. We judge our own failings more harshly than anyone else's. Yet self-forgiveness isn't about excusing bad behavior. It's about acknowledging our humanity and moving forward with greater awareness. In a world selling productivity and pills and mindfulness and apps, we've forgotten the most powerful antidote to despair, mercy. Not grand gestures, but the small softening when we choose compassion over righteousness, connection over isolation, forgiveness over grudges. Your broken places aren't shameful flaws. They're potential sites of transformation, ready to be filled with gold. 30 years ago, 1 week after her last drink, a woman met Loretta, a former junkie and cranky gardener with watchful, kind eyes. Loretta taught her to take each day with humor and gratitude, to pray for those she couldn't forgive. Years later, Loretta became her Alzheimer's-afflicted mother's nurse, giving her lonely mother companionship in her final years. Sometimes, mercy appears unexpectedly, like tadpoles for a depressed teenager. After weeks of sleeping, this young woman filled an aquarium with pond water and tadpoles, watching them transform into tiny frogs before returning them to the pond. Through this simple act of care, the bright, eccentric, curious child in her reemerged. Mercy creates futures for the downtrodden, helping us outshine resentment and rediscover the person who marvels at tadpoles. So start small, soften ever so slightly. Reclaim the self you were born as before the world taught you to armor up.